All right, we're back like a bad rash. It's been a couple weeks, actually. Took a little break, not for any particular reason, just couldn't line it up. How you been?
Pretty good, yeah.
You are listening to Music, Myths, and Cannabis. I'm Leon. This is my good buddy, Daryl.
How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How was your week?
Good, yeah. Already Friday.
I see everybody was whining about the volume levels. So if it seems a little loud, I'm going to adjust it as we're going here. But
yeah, it was a little low last time.
Yeah, I know. Everybody was like, I had it turned up all the way and I couldn't hear anything. It's just like, well, I do appreciate you listening. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, thank you. It does sound louder.
Yeah, it does in the headphones. But so this week, this is actually episode number 10. Yay, yay. Okay, cool. We did it so far. This week, I was thinking we would talk about songs that other people wrote that you might not know that they wrote. And what triggered this for me was years ago, I found out that, you know that Patsy Cline song, Crazy?
Yep.
I actually am quite a Patsy Cline fan. But what I didn't know was Willie Nelson wrote that song when he was 16, I think, years old or something like that.
Yep.
Got paid a big whopping $25 for it. So, you know, I hope he didn't spend it all in one place. But I guess back then, $25, I mean, this is probably mid-60s or something. $25 is probably equal to $150-$200 or something these days.
But so it wasn't too bad.
I guess it was probably comparable, let's say. But it just sounds like almost nothing. I mean, I can't even get a fucking burger at McDonald's for $20 anymore. Yeah. But I tried just the other day. Talking about expenses, I went up. Every time I love sushi, right? And every time we go for sushi now, it used to be, you know, $60 or something like that. Now, if we get sushi and a little something for the kid, we're talking like $80, man.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
It's gotten nuts.
Like two 10-piece nugget meals I took the kids through the other day, $27.
Oh, fuck, man. That's just stupid. No way is it worth that. I don't know. I don't know. It seems like since COVID, but I don't understand how COVID
increases the prices, yeah.
I don't understand that. And like once they start getting that kind of money out of you, they're never going to drop the price, right?
It is COVID season again, apparently.
I heard some new strain was coming.
Whatever.
But we're going to alienize our freaking anti-COVID listeners. But, okay, and then the strain we're going to try, what was it?
Pink Kush.
Pink Kush. Okay, we'll check out these songs that other people wrote, and we'll smoke some Pink Kush. So I got quite a list. It was a little hard coming up with this stuff because it seemed to be the same things popping up. And like you were saying earlier, it seemed to be songs you didn't even give a shit about anyway, or know who it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Really didn't care. But
I found a few though.
You ever listened to much of CeeLo Green stuff?
No, I don't really.
Okay. No. Do you? I know you didn't listen to quite as much of the rap stuff as I did, but there was a band way back in the day called Goody Mob. Do you know them?
I've heard of it.
Okay, they had an album called Soul Food, and there's actually one song on there coincidentally called Soul Food, and I really like that. But that's where I first heard CeeLo Green. He's got quite a distinct voice. But you probably know the song Forget You by CeeLo Green. You might know that
maybe if I heard it.
Okay, it was originally called Fuck You, but they changed it to to Forget You just so they could play it on the radio. And that was written by Bruno Mars, which surprised me.
Oh wow,
you familiar with him?
A little bit. Not my thing, but I know who he is.
He's a pretty talented guy. I haven't heard from him much for the last couple of years, but he's actually quite a talented guy. Always reminded me of Lucy's husband, Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I always got from him. Lucy, who you got?
I got, you know, Dee Snider from Twisted Sister writing a song for Celine Dion.
No way.
It was a Christmas song.
Dee Snider. He was a big good friend of that guy I listened to constantly, Howard Stern, him and him.
Oh, really?
They were two good buddies, and then Dee got a radio show. And if you have a radio show against Howard, he will annihilate you. So he...
Yeah, it was called Magic Day of Christmas.
No, I don't know the song.
I don't know the song either, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Totally. It's funny, I got a Celine Dion one here too, Aerosmith. She wrote Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Oh, yeah, I read that too, but I don't know that Aerosmith song offhand.
Oh, sure you do. It's a slow one.
Really? Yeah, probably. Maybe I just don't know the title.
You totally would know it if you heard it. It was on the radio big time.
Yeah, there's like Pump Era kind of thing, if you know that album.
It might even be on that album.
Okay.
I saw them actually during that concert.
I've never seen Aerosmith.
Really?
Yeah, no, never. I don't remember them. Yeah.
Nope. That's funny. Yeah, no, I saw him. Probably with Jacobson.
Really?
I'm sure. Oh, here, I got a good one. The song David Bowie's Golden Years.
Yep.
You know that one, right?
Yep.
That was written, he wrote that for Elvis.
Oh, yeah, I read that too. Yep.
But
Elvis turned it down.
Yes, he turned it down and David Bowie did it, but he did a good job. I actually quite like that song. I was a pretty big David Bowie fan.
Did you know that John Lennon co-wrote Fame with David Bowie?
I did. I actually didn't know that until I started researching
this
stuff.
Yeah, me too. Exactly.
But I could totally see that.
Yeah. You know that song, Red Red Wine?
Yeah.
UB40.
UB40.
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond. He actually is behind quite a few songs. I got a couple of them.
I got another one too. Monkees. I'm a Believer.
Oh, I'm a Believer.
Also Neil Diamond.
Not to be confused with a Belieber.
Yeah.
Because I am not a Belieber. Olivia Newton-John.
Okay. Yeah.
Physical. It was originally written for Rod Stewart.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
Actually, some of the ones on my list are a song that was written for somebody else. I kind of got sidetracked on
that. Yeah, I kind of did that too.
Okay,
and
good.
Then I tried to get some other ones.
Okay, good. We're on the same page. You ever listen to TLC much?
No.
Oh,
I know who it is though.
I was a huge TLC fan. Yeah. Hit me, baby, one more time. Originally written for TLC.
Yeah, Britney Spears. Yeah, yeah.
And they turned it down.
Well, you know the Bangles?
Oh, absolutely.
Manic Monday.
Manic Monday.
Prince wrote it.
I know.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's interesting. He's one of those guys too that wrote a lot for other people.
Yeah.
Again, what was that one I talked about just the other day? What the hell was it? Prince wrote it. Not that one. Oh, it's going to come to me in a minute or whatever. But anyways, let's check out some Bud.
Okay, let's do it. Break some out here.
I got to get this one out of my head. Call Me for Blondie, you know that one?
Yeah, it was Deborah Harry.
Deborah Harry, I had a thing for her.
And they wanted Stevie Nicks to do it.
Stevie Nicks to do it. And I totally it would have
been interesting. I could see her singing that for sure.
Absolutely. And that's what I kind of caught when I was reading about these ones that were like written for other people. You could totally hear that person doing it. It made a lot of sense. You want a grinder or scissors?
I got both today.
I've got this fancy-dancy freaking grinder you gave me. I freaking love it.
You know that Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers song?
Yeah.
Island in the Stream?
Island in the Stream, written by...
Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees. They also wrote a lot of stuff people.
I thought I had another one there for both them.
Well, I don't know if you'll remember this one, but Yvonne Elliman, I can't Have You. Remember that?
No.
It was pretty like late 70s.
If I heard it, maybe. I don't know the name.
It might have been on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, If I Can't Have You.
I got my choice of giant scissors or tiny scissors.
Yep. You do what you got to do. I actually like this song. I was quite a young kid, but also written by the Bee Gees. Those guys were behind a lot of stuff.
It's one of the first albums I ever had, I think, as a kid. Yeah, way back. I think my mom bought it for me for like Christmas or something.
Well, their first music was quite different than what they got known for later on. It was actually quite folky rock. It was very different.
Greatest Hits, I think, White Album. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Justin Bieber, Love Yourself, co-written by Ed Sheeran.
There's one of the ones I skipped.
Sure, I hear you, man. You know that song, It's Getting Hot in Here?
Yep.
You must know that one, right? Here's another guy that writes songs for everybody. Pharrell Williams.
Okay. I've heard the name.
Oh, you don't know Pharrell?
No.
He did, he's just all over the place. Do you remember that song with Robin Thicke?
Robin Thicke, yeah. Maybe.
Robin Thicke, what the hell's that one where the girls are all butt naked? Blurred Lines.
Pretty sure
he was behind that one. This blew me away. You actually, I think, were the one that triggered this thought, and you I think you might have said this, but Van Halen, Oh Wait.
Yeah.
So I guess they wrote the song, all the music and stuff, and they couldn't think of any kind of lyrics to go with it, and they pulled in Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, eh?
Like, totally. But he wrote the words for that.
Yeah, and he actually took them to court later on and like won.
Why, because he wanted some of the money?
Yeah, for sure, because they didn't acknowledge that he had anything to do with it. Didn't credit him or anything.
Yeah, it goes like that sometimes. Paul Revere, Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
You listen to the Beastie Boys much?
I like the Beastie Boys a lot. I just watched a documentary on them last night, actually.
Oh, no way. I'm going to have to check that out because I quite like the Beastie Boys. Run DMC wrote Paul Revere.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Huh. Did not know that.
Oh, and that Bryan Adams song that we were talking about. That's what we're going to have to bust out. Do you have that Bryan Adams 51 songs or is it like on your phone? Okay. We might have to talk about some of them.
Him and Jim Vallance.
There you go. And here's that Kiss song I was talking about, War Machine.
Yeah.
Written by Brian fucking Adams.
That's crazy.
Can you believe that? I guess they got a hold of him. They saw he had some talent and got a hold of him. And he wrote all kinds of stuff for Prism and Styx, Celine Dion again.
Who does Teacher Teacher? 38 Special? Yeah, he did that.
No way.
Yep.
38 Special was connected to Lynyrd Skynyrd. That was his brother.
There might even be... I know Jim Vallance wrote a lot of songs with Aerosmith, but I don't think Brian had stuff to do with that. I'm not sure.
And then there was people who aren't necessarily that well known, but wrote for everybody like that. Linda Perry.
Yeah.
She wrote like ridiculous amounts of songs. And Sia. Sia's another one of those people.
I didn't know who that was. I saw that. Who is?
You don't know Sia?
No.
Oh my God. She's fucking awesome.
I did see that she wrote like a lot of songs, but I didn't know who she was.
It's not your type of music. She was kind of interesting because she came out, she was a little older than the average pop star or whatever.
Yep.
So she always had really long hair and she would wear it like way past down to her nose, covering her face so that the crowd couldn't see how old she was. And because, you know, these days you get turned down if you're a little older than everybody else.
Yep.
You got a lighter?
I do not.
It's on that tray.
Oh, there it is.
There we go. Pink Kush. What do they say about Pink Kush? Let's have a look. I got it right here. Pink Kush. Pink Kush, as coveted as the OJ Kush. It's OJ Kush relative. It's an indica dominant hybrid with powerful body focused effects. And its exceptional variations, pink hairs burst from bright green buds barely visible under a blanket of sugar-like trichomes with traces of a sweet vanilla candy perfume. I hate it when they use perfume in a bud description.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't sound
I do not,
appealing.
It's not my thing. The potency of this strain could be considered overpowering. Uh-oh. We might be in trouble. And even in even small doses. It says it can eliminate pain, insomnia, bring on and help you with appetite loss. Growers have to wait 10 to 11 weeks for Pink Kush's flowering, but high yields of top-shelf buds are worth the wait. Feeling sleepy, relaxed, and hungry. Negatives are dry mouth, dry eyes, and paranoid. And the flavors are flowery, rose, and sweet.
Well, I can see the sweet. Definitely.
Let's see. Fire in the hole. I didn't forget.
Just looking at Brian Adams wrote another one for Rod Stewart.
Yeah, was that?
Another Heartache. I think I know that one.
Late? Is that later?
86.
Well, that's not too bad. Rod Stewart was pretty hot at that time. Did you listen to much Rod Stewart music?
Not a lot. Maybe like the hits. You know, I don't think I've ever owned an album and dug into his whole catalog.
I was one of those guys where I'd hear it on the radio. This is down in Niagara Falls, so I'd be listening to like WABC out in New York. So it was pretty hot, like very like popular shit.
That song, Hot Legs, I like that.
For sure. I wonder who wrote that.
Yeah. Actually seen a Rod Stewart tribute guy last Christmas at my girlfriend's Christmas party. It was kind of funny. He did Elvis and then he came out and did Rod Stewart.
I never was an Elvis guy.
No, me either. It was pretty funny, though.
Okay. I can definitely get the sweet off of that. Tickles my throat. Tickles my throat, as you can hear. This one guy thought, he was like, how come you guys smoke your joints and you never cough? He's like, I don't know. And I told him I had edited some stuff out because there was one time where I asked you a question and then you didn't have your phone here or something. You couldn't answer. And there's this huge pause. And he's like, oh, I'll edit that out, which I did. And so I told him, this one I had to edit a little bit. And so he goes, oh, that's why I can never hear you cough. I was like, no.
I don't think we've edited coughs.
No, I've never edited a cough. It burns nice.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yep, that's got a nice sweet flavor. I like that. Like I've said many times, I'm the guy that likes that fruity kind of fucking berry type of flavor. That's my jam. Can't stand the spicy shit.
Yeah.
Blueberry's good. We're going to try that next episode. I haven't had actual blueberry for years and years. There was one guy I knew, and that's the only thing he grew was blueberry. We used to call him Papa Smurf. Yep, burning nice, not canoeing. Nice ash.
What else you got?
What do I got?
Anybody?
Oh, yeah, I've got Respect by Aretha Franklin. Obviously, you know that one.
Yes.
Written by Otis Redding.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't have known that.
What's it called? Hard to Handle, the first Black Crowes single.
That's
Otis. Was Otis Redding, but I never knew it was a cover for years.
Yeah, definitely Otis Redding. He's got a couple, like, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, I think that was. Or no, was that Sam Cooke or was that Otis Redding? I think it was Otis Redding.
I'm not sure on that one.
He died quite young, too. I don't have that. Oh, here's a stupid song. You're going to fucking laugh. The Bartman. You remember that stupid song?
Yep.
I hated that shit. I don't do parody stuff all that well.
Weird Al-ish.
Yeah, Bartman. There was some kind of Smurf movie or Simpsons movie that came out or something, so they had the Bartman. Anyways, written by Michael Jackson. Can you believe it?
That's funny. Well, at least he has a sense of humor.
Does he?
Well, I guess. I don't know. Did he? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think he was a bit of a dick. Anytime anybody wanted anything from him, he was like, oh, I don't think I can do that. You know the song, The Stones, I Want to Be Your Man?
Yep.
Okay, so the Stones did that, obviously. That was their song. but they saw that with the success the Beatles were having, and they contacted the Beatles, and the Beatles actually wrote that song for them.
Oh, really?
Just gave it to them.
Huh. Did not know that.
Who else you got?
Basically that Jim Vallance still. He did one for Ted Nugent, 84, Draw the Line.
Mm. Holler Back Girl. You know that one, Gwen Stefani?
Yeah, I think so.
Pharrell Williams.
Really?
Yeah, that guy was all over the place. Oh, and, you know, Canadian, obviously we're Canadian, but Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway. Not sure if you listen to that type of stuff, though, but you probably heard it. If you heard
she's
it, you
from American
it.
Idol, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. She's got a nickname. What the fuck is it?
I see her on some commercial, but yeah, I don't know.
Written by Avril Lavigne.
Really?
Yeah, huh. Canadian.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's about all I got on my list
That's
here.
That's about all I got, too. Yeah, it was a little bit tough, that one.
Bust into the fucking Bryan Adams list, then.
The Bryan Adams list. Hang on, I got to go back. Because
that was quite impressive. Big stuff, too. Like, fucking songs is like, what? The biggest surprise for me, though, was that Kiss song. I couldn't believe that Bryan Adams was connected to that. And he wrote more than one song for them, too.
Yeah, there was a couple on there. For a couple, I think that was 82 on the Creatures of the Night album.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
War Machine.
Yeah, I love that. I fucking just love that song.
And there's another song called Rock and Roll Hell.
You want any more of this?
No, I'm good. And then one, Down on Your Knees, it says.
I never was a Kiss guy. Are you part of the Kiss Army?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was part of the Kiss Army, but I own their albums.
I got you. I had one cousin and he...
I like 70s Kiss, not so much the anything after that too much. Yeah. A little bit here and there.
I got into that Lick It Up album a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't get the Kiss thing myself. We talked about this once before because I remember seeing.
I've seen them once with the four with the four original members
in makeup.
Yep, it was like their first reunion tour. Let's say, I want to say 96, 90 something.
That would be apparently like they put on an amazing show.
Yeah, it was good
for sure.
I think Stabbing Westward opened.
I was gonna ask
something
you that.
Like that.
I wasn't even sure if they'd have somebody open for them.
Yeah, it was all right.
Never had the opportunity to see them. I'm not sure I would have taken it.
I wouldn't go now with their fake Kiss guys.
No.
It kind of bugs me. They dress up still as the other guys.
Well,
I mean, it's good. They're still good musicians and stuff, but
the cool thing about that for them, not so much now, but they could do a show and take off their makeup and then walk downtown. Like, you know, you could, cause fame, I'm not famous, never been or anything like that, but fame sometimes is a pain in the ass.
Well, they've even talked about continuing on even when Paul and Gene are gone. And getting replacements for them.
Oh, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, and just keep Kiss going like forever.
No, that's not good. No, I guess Paul's got a book out. I'm going to have to listen to it. It's supposed to be quite good. He was fucking treated like shit as a kid. I guess he's got a fucked up ear. He's got an ear that is all kind of deformed. And being a kid and I think he's a Jewish kid in New Yorkish area. And so he got teased like relentlessly.
That's one that I've never seen many interviews with. It's usually Gene.
Yeah, him and Gene were both on Stern at one time.
Really?
Excellent interview, but just about everything, any interview on Stern is awesome. Howard's got an amazing way of pulling information out of people.
Yeah.
So if you're interested and wanted to hear the two together, I could dig up that interview. It's worth listening to.
See, Adams did a song with Motley Crue, too.
Which one?
Called Glitter off of Generation Swine.
I thought he did one earlier with them, too. I'm not sure. We had one buddy who went out partying one time, hanging out with his girlfriend, and then she goes, "Oh, let's go over to Brian's house or something." And he says that he went there, and it was Bryan Adams' place. Hmm. That was those bad guys. Yeah. What the hell was their name? Beta Boys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was one of the Beta Boys.
Really?
Yeah, this is what he says. Anyway, what do I know?
Haven't heard of them in a while.
No, there's probably a reason for that.
See, Bryan Adams did one with Bonnie Raitt too.
Oh yeah, what song's that?
Rock Steady.
Bonnie Raitt. She's one of those people I super respect her talent. Don't listen to too many songs. I don't go out of my way to listen to her much, but she's actually quite a good guitar player, but not really known. I mean, she's known to be a guitar player, but not people who love guitar don't bring her name up all that much.
Yeah, yeah.
Prince was actually a good guitar player.
He's really good, actually. I've watched an old live video from like 80 whatever with his guitar solo. It's like so good.
He doesn't get the credit for it. You know who surprised me was Adam Levine. You know who he is, of course.
Yeah.
He did a cover of Purple Rain, and he played the guitar part and does a solo. He doesn't play, you don't see him playing guitar all that much. He sings, of course, but you don't see him physically pick up and shred. He just fucking knocked it out of the park.
I'm just reading here. Bryan Adams wrote a lot of Prism songs as well.
Yeah. Now they're Canadian, right?
Yep.
Prism?
Yep.
That's one of those bands you don't hear too much anymore, but I totally know who you're talking about. They were in my young years. Who else did he write for?
Loverboy.
Yeah, see, again, Canadian.
Yep.
I think there was this story behind the him writing for Loverboy is that they, Brian, they were both at the same agency, and Loverboy kept coming out, and they kept seeing this Brian guy and heard a couple of his things, thought he was pretty good, and just said, hey, write us up a tune.
I haven't heard much from him in a while.
No, he was hot for a while.
Yeah.
And then nothing. Well, it's one of those.
Yeah, the 38 special, which we talked about. Teacher.
He helped write Teacher, Teacher? Yep. Oh, is that what you said? Okay, yeah. See, 38 special, I got to know them a little bit more because when we did that Lynyrd Skynyrd thing, because...
yeah, there's a connection there.
Yeah, the brother of Ronnie Van Zant, that was the Lynyrd Skynyrd guy, right, Ronnie?
Yes, yeah.
And then, because they're all like Ronnie and Johnny and shit like that. And then the other guy, he went to, and he did 38 special. Never listened to them too much. Not like I listened to Skynyrd by any means.
He's wrote, I'm just reading here, he wrote one with Irish Rovers. He's wrote one with Juice Newton.
Oh, yeah.
Ann Murray. It's crazy.
He did a lot of Canadian work.
No,
there,
he did one with Crocus. I did not know that.
That, I read that. Yeah, Crocus. I actually quite like Crocus. They're Australia, right?
No, they're Switzerland.
Crocus is from Switzerland?
Yep, they're the first band I've ever seen live, actually.
Wow.
They opened for Judas Priest in 86, my first concert.
Yeah, I don't know why I connected with those guys. I thought they were good.
Yeah, he wrote the song Boys Night Out, 94 on the Blitz.
94?
Sorry, 84.
Oh, okay.
84.
I was going to say, that's pretty late. I don't remember anything in Crocus in 94. They started doing...
They're actually still going.
Are they, really? Yeah, yeah. Original members?
No. The singer still as... Other members, I'm not sure.
Well, I probably would go see them. That, to me, was one of those underground bands. Most people I knew didn't even know who they were. Speaking of bands, this has got nothing to do with what we're talking about. I was just talking to a friend of mine. He sends me a picture of his kid playing guitar. And I go, oh, is that your guitar? Or did you buy that for your kid? Or actually, his grandkid, sorry. And he says, oh, no, it's my friend's guitar. And he's just let my kid play on it. And his friend turns out to be the guitar engineer for Cannibal Corpse.
Oh, really?
So I'll see if I can't get him on the show or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, I'm sure he's got some stories.
Awesome.
But I know you're like into that heavy shit, so.
Yeah, definitely. I love Cannibal Corpse.
I knew you would. But anyways, we're hitting around 23-minute mark. I'm going to fucking cut it short. And the reason why I'm cutting it short is because it was hard to come up with information for this particular topic.
It's like the Bryan Adams episode.
Yeah, oops. My bad. Didn't mean to bore everybody, but... we don't do this for necessarily fame and value and all that kind of shit. We just end up, we talk about music all the time. Figured, might as well record while we're babbling. So we smoke a doobie and talk about the doobie and talk about some music. Ended up being way more about Bryan Adams than I expected.
You're some good songs, though, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't have talent and stick around for, like, what, he's probably been writing for 40 years at this point.
Yeah.
He must be. But anyways, okay, well, thanks for listening. Episode 10, we're going to kill it. And come on back, tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.
Cheers.